Welcome to Radio Boomers Live, the show about all things human from a baby boomer's perspective. All things hot and all things not. News, reviews, interviews, chat, tech, and what's next. And here are your hosts, Risa Gray from Betty White's Off Their Rockers and Easy's dad, Jim Zulli.
Good morning, Radio Boomers Live listeners around the world, and good morning to our Easy Way family and to our celebrity host, Risa Gray. Let's knock on her star door and see if she's there. Risa, are you there?
Good morning. I'm here.
There
rocking
she is.
Rolling on a Monday morning, bright and early.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to keep, maybe I shouldn't do this because Risa doesn't want too many people coming down here, but I'm happy with the weather. Maybe everybody's tired of hearing that, but so many things going on, Reef. I know you keep up with the Hollywood more than I do, but we got the Easy Way magazine's Rock and Roll on its way. So text Easy Way to 55678 for the new and updated Easy Way Wall of Fame and the magazine and so much. And you've been following this stuff for a long time, huh, Reef? I didn't see you at the auto museum, but there's a lot of fun stuff coming up.
Yeah, automobile museum is very nice. I've been there.
Oh, wow. Reef, I'm blown away by some of those cars and the Maxwells and, cars that most people don't even remember. And they really did make beautiful vehicles back then. I mean, anyway, we better get moving along here. Time flies when you're having fun, so let's get into our commercial and our hot
topics. I'm going to do our hot topics.
Oh, yeah.
Ripped from the headline, today's hot topic.
Well, my hot topic is the SAG Awards, speaking of Hollywood. It's a shame. We get CDs in the mail, we get codes to get free movies and stuff. I did not see enough movies to honestly vote, and I really should have, but I didn't. There were so many good movies and so many nominations. The outstanding performance by a male actor in a television movie or miniseries was Michael Keaton for Dope Stick. I love Michael Keaton all the way back to Mr. Mom, for those of you that are old enough to remember that. The outstanding performance by a female actor in a television movie or miniseries was Kate Winslet for Mayor of Easttown. Didn't see either of those. Outstanding performance by a male actor in a drama series was Lee Jong-jae from Squid Game. I did see that. I actually enjoyed Squid Game. If you haven't seen it, see it. Outstanding performance by a female actor in a drama series was Jung Ho Yin. I'm butchering these names. Squid Game. Like I said, it really was a good movie or a TV series. Outstanding performance by a male actor in a comedy series was Jason Sudeikis and Ted Lasso. I don't know what people see in Ted Lasso, but I, hats off to Jason for winning. Outstanding performance by a female actor in a comedy series, Jean Smart in Hacks. Didn't see it, but Jean Smart is such a fine actress and has been around for quite a long time. Outstanding performance by an ensemble was Succession. Ted Lasso won an award. Squid Game won an award. Who else? Will Smith won an award for King Richard for a male best leading role by a male actor. And let me see. I just wanted to say a couple more. Jessica Chastain won for The Eyes of Tammy Faye. That was the Tammy Faye Baker story. Coda won big for outstanding performance by a male actor in a supporting role. They won for, I think it was best ensemble cast also. That was with the signers that were doing the signing all through the Death movie. Haven't seen Coda yet either. West Side Story 1, Coda 1, No Time to Die 1. There's so many movies out there, and believe me, I only saw like two or three of those. You can see them on TV for the most part now. Check out these limited series and the TV shows. They're really very entertaining. We have so much to watch nowadays. Remember the days of three channels, Jim?
Oh, yeah. 2579, you turn the dial, go sit down, have your sandwich.
Well, that was back east. Here we had 2, 4, and 7.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, those were the days. But anyway, that's my hot topic for today. Jim, what's yours?
And we had to adjust the antenna. But anyway, you know, guys, I try to put a positive spin on a few things. But, I got to share some of the stuff going on. Australia got hit real hard with a super flood. And worst flooding in 100 years. People are being rescued from rooftops, 20,000 people. It's really a kind of a historic type thing. Russia strikes major cities after the after Russia and Ukraine have their talks, and it's boy, I'll tell you what, they're bolstering up. There's no way these people in Ukraine are giving in. They've got grandma units. They're issuing, and these are ladies over, you know, in their 60s and 70s, learning how to use their weapons. They're converting stores into, areas where they can train. It could be a beauty salon. They're converting it into a military, how to use your weapon type situation. And they rallied up 100,000 volunteers overnight. A lot of the people, though, that were leaving, they were stopped at the border, and the men were told they have to stay and join up, but a lot of them joined up anyway. The Russian attacks are being repelled, and volunteers up to, like I said, the numbers are high. I'm not going to go into all the numbers. There's too much. But the Russian ruble is worth less than – see, this is probably wasn't such a good idea. It's bad for Ukraine, but it's going to be bad for Russia. A lot of the troops thought they were just going along the border and be sitting around watching the border, and then they were told we're going to attack. They were surprised. A lot of them have relatives. It's going to be a very tough situation. They do business with these people. And now they're attacking them. And so the Russian ruble is worth less than 1 cent after the U.S. tightens its sanctions there. But believe me, that's not alone. We got Switzerland. We got all kinds of countries jumping on board with these sanctions. It's going to hurt the Russian economy. So anyway, we're going to go into a couple other things real quick here because we're falling behind. SAG Awards. Now, CODA, C-O-D-A. And Jessica Chastain wins, and they say it shook up the race a little bit there, kind of unexpected. The average American has made 5 new friends through video gaming in the past year. The most popular are basically the war games, Battlegrounds, Crossfire, so on and so forth, Minecraft, and the auto theft, Grand Theft Auto. And they say that it's affecting the youth. They're finding 12-year-olds stealing cars. Media climate action necessary to live a more peaceful life as far as weather, the UN report says. And, all kinds of stuff. Red Sox offensive, there was a problem with the tweets. So one of the players was let go. So we got to watch those tweets. And Reese, that's kind of, we got 600 hospitals. We're getting free MRI scanners to reduce anxiety among young patients. The scanner is going to look like, more of a game system. Kind of makes them relax when they go in for an MRI. And they say changing your diet could add 13 years to your life. So I'll wrap up there. Maybe we'll go into that, what the foods are. Oh, I've got to take a breath here. So much stuff. I got about 16 more pages. I don't think we'll get it in, so let's go to commercial.
Imagine a social network that's based on quality members over quantity, where you can easily find the qualified leads you're looking for, where members treat each other as family and promote each other's projects. Get interviewed, manage your business, and sell your product or service on our new EasyWay store. Let us do the promotional heavy lifting for you. We've created an all-in-one solution with all the tools you would ever need to promote you and your client's business, all accessible by one simple login. Social media done for you. Introducing the new 2022 EasyWay Network with our built-in wall of fame that helps you to search and find that profile you want to network with that matches your business needs while boosting your own notoriety at the same time. This year, we've made it even easier on you. Oh, did we mention you make money? Create your free account today by texting EasyWay, that's letter E, letter Z, to 55678. Or visit EasyWayNetwork.com. Got questions? Give us a call at 424-209-9290.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And you're going to get a real, well, I don't know how to say it. The guest we have coming on, his name's Doug Ferguson, and you're going to get a thrill by listening to him because he's in the new age of photography, and he's into producing, and he's into 3D walkthrough photography, and that's been beneficial in a lot of businesses. And I can go on and on with his. I know he's been with EasyWay for a long time. We've had him out at many of our events. He supports. He was into comedy to help support women's rescue groups and so on and so forth. So let's bring him on. Doug Ferguson. Doug, you're on with us.
I am, Mr. Z.
Hello, Doug, and we got Retha Gray. You remember Retha? Retha, Doug?
Oh, absolutely. Hi, Retha. How are you?
I'm fine, Doug. How are you?
Good, good. Yes, Retha had of my favorite commercials. Retha had one of my favorite commercials on TV. I know that everybody saw it, whether they remember it or not, but it was memorable, and it was super cute.
That was the one where you were
in an apartment or a building, and there was a little kid in the building, and you guys were writing notes back and forth.
The Christmas commercial.
Yes.
Hey, so cool. Hey, well, you know, this is some new technology that I want to get into. Well, actually, it's not new because they said that the photography began around 1830 in the first stereo or 3D. It was taken about 1839, and they recognized that as the birth of practical photography. Actually, Edison experimented with it in 1891. So. But now it's in a whole different level. But, Doug, let's go back to, I mean, you've been around, and you've been to so many events with us together, and you know the EasyWay situation. What's your experience been like since you, where did you meet Eric at anyway? How long ago was that?
This was probably about 4 years ago, and it was at a Denny's on El Toro. And Eric had like three or four people sitting around a table, and they were talking about production and TV and events and stuff. And so Eric went outside, and when he went outside, I followed him out. And I said, I don't mean to be rude, but I heard you guys talking about TV and production. And I said, I'm a photographer, so I gave him a card. He says, well, we have an event coming up in a couple of weeks. Why don't you come on down? So I came down and started did photography that night and been on board ever since.
And you know, when you say he went outside, I know the scenario because when you sit down with at dinner with Eric, he's there about 2 minutes and then he's outside. He was on his phone, right?
He
walks around the parking lots and restaurants because he's on the phone all the time. So, you know, Doug, there's this situation is going on with the 3D stuff. It's been pretty beneficial. It's a new era now with what they used to have. And so what got you into being behind the camera? Because you're a very likable guy and you're very experienced because when I shoot, it's nowhere the level that you're at. I take the pictures and I know how to hit the little switch on the camera, but you know, I have to come to you when it's more complicated, you know, all that stuff. What got you in the path of photography?
Well, you know what? It was I was unemployed at the time, and a buddy came by, and he had a camera with him, And he says, oh, he said, I'm starting to be a photographer. And, God, this was back whenever I was 18 years old. And I said, well, that sounds fun. And so I literally went out and bought a camera and told people I was a photographer and just started getting, you know, a few jobs here and there. And then I started working at KDOC TV 56, shooting the Wally George show. That was a long time ago. And,
I didn't think you were that old, Doug.
I'm 60 years old. I've been doing photography for 42 years. But
oh,
thank
goodness.
You for the compliment. But so I started out doing photos for the KDOC TV 56, the Wally George show, and then I branched out. I started working at Fox Television, and it's so much fun. And I was back in the film days where you had to shoot slides for color and film for black and white if you wanted to do black and white. Now the digital, you know, it's digital has really, you know, changed everything the way people do. And even cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can get some really good stuff with an iPhone, you know, iPhone Pro.
I've shot I've shot a couple of movies where they only use surveillance cameras and cell phones.
Wow. How amazing is that?
I know.
I did a behind the scenes. I shared this with Retha. You know, they invite Eric to a lot of the behind the scenes stuff. You know, the people wait to meet the celebrities or, you know, they're meeting them at the event. Well, they want Eric backstage with them, you know, and so they hang out. And there's been a lot of interesting situations with that. But I have now with the 3D situation, this is benefits people a lot of different ways. Now you've taken this into the homes, right? Is this one of the more beneficial things where you do the walkthroughs and for the brokers and everything?
Yes, yes. Since COVID hit, I mean, I've been doing 3D virtual walkthroughs for over 7 years, you know, like right when the first Matterport camera came out. And once COVID hit, nobody wanted to have open – well, they literally wouldn't let you have open houses. And so the 3D walkthrough business just exploded. It has since slowed down since about September, but I'm still, you know, I'm still getting, you know, two or three or four gigs a week. But after COVID hit, I was literally shooting 7 days a week, and some days I would shoot two houses. And it's been just amazing. And it's so much. The 3D, it's so much fun, and there are so many things with the 3D that they tell you you can't do. And I have mastered the process of being able to do all of the things that they say you can't do.
So I saw your videos,
like,
and that's amazing.
Well, what do they say, like, that you can't do with the 3D that you do?
Well, they say that if you want to walk through a door, you know, if you want to go from one room to another room and the door is closed, you have to keep it open. Well, I've mastered the process of, you know, how to get right up to the door, open it. You can walk through the door. You can get a little bit beyond the door, and then you can close it. Because like a Jack and Jill bathroom, you know, if you want to see the Jack and Jill bathroom from one bedroom, of course you want the door closed so you see the privacy. And then when you get to the other side of the bathroom, that door opens and the other door closes. And they said that it can't be done. I've mastered a way of doing it.
Oh.
Well, you've got it down. And, you know, it's sort of like in the video games when you put on the little helmet and you walk around.
Yeah.
The engineer gave me a peep, and he said that Eric is you're going to be tuning in. Let's see if we can get him. It's going to look difficult to get him once in a while. But, Eric, you on with us? Let's see if we can get him.
I hear no theme song.
No, yeah. It's a little embarrassing when we go into pavilions and they play that and then he walks in. But but anyway, yeah, if the gate's open, up here he is.
There we go.
Yeah, there we go. Hey, Eric.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Life is hard. Hello, Eric. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. So we got Doug on with us, and I know you guys go way back, so here you go.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to support my man Doug, and you know, kind of let everybody know, because you know you can't really talk about yourself per se, but Doug is a pretty spectacular individual. You know, he's been there for us with all of our events. He's our in-house photographer for everything that we do, and when you go to the blog section on the Easy Way Wall of Fame. A lot of the photos that you see are usually Doug's. If it's red carpet related, it's usually Doug's. And we're going to be doing some pretty amazing things with Doug and our members. You know, we have multiple magazines that we're working with now, and a lot of different people need, you know, we have films that we're doing, and you know, everybody's going to need headshots and portfolio shots, and, you know, they're going to need shots for their Facebooks and their websites, and certain shot, like, Doug knows his stuff, so I definitely recommend if you need a photographer to deal with Doug, as well as he's a producer with the comedy side thing. I think you're working like four projects or something on the comedy side with the TV, right, Doug?
Yeah. Producer of some comedy shows, and then also I have a late night alternative talk show called The Funny as Hell Show, and it's a half animated show and half real people. And so I'm hoping to get that seen by some people at Comedy Central or something. So,
well, we got people at Comedy Central or something following us, so I'm sure something like that may potentially happen. So, Doug, are you going to have this information that you're talking about? So if somebody does want to support you in the Easeway family or soon to be in the Easeway family that's referred by somebody, I would assume they can go to your Easy Way Wall of Fame profile and maybe some of the sizzles or pilots or any of the stuff that they're hearing on the podcast, they'll be able to visually see on your Wall of Fame profile, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And Eric, you know, Doug, when you go into, in fact, I have video of this, when you go into Warner Brothers studio, you go into one of the studios, and there was a couple security people there and a pedestal or whatever they put the flyers on. Oh my word, my vocabulary wreath is falling apart here. what do you call it when you put an easel? There was an easel there, and it had a poster of me on the cover of a magazine, Hollywood Weekly. And guess who took the picture, right, Doug?
Yeah. Well, that was a great photo session, Mr. Z.
We had it at Doug's beautiful studio in Irvine. Boy, it was very nice, very high tech. And Doug and I couldn't figure out which jacket I should wear, so I brought all these different jackets. And we wound up wearing, I wound up putting on what, Doug, you remember?
Yeah, the leather jacket. We did the Clint Eastwood look.
Yeah.
Well, he's very Clint Eastwood looking.
Well, you know,
yes,
I love that. I was at Taco Bell, and the lady said, you know, you look like that guy on Josie Wales. And he said, oh, yeah. And the other guy said, yeah, he looks like Clint Eastwood. I said, well, thank you. He's 90, but I guess that's okay. All right. So now I get the picture. But anyway, yeah, Eric, it's you guys have worked together for so long, and Doug, boy, he's the guy I go to when I say, Doug, the camera, what do I do here? It's fuzzy or something. Doug fixes it for me. But
Mr. Z,
so anyway,
you're better than you think you are.
Oh, I don't know about that. But now, where are we going with this, Doug? I mean, this is really exciting. You know, when you put on the helmet and you walk 3D through, and now what about, you know, some of the situations with when you're going into a computer and they call it a metaverse or whatever. So you'll be able to take your 3D, and where do you think it's going from here? I mean, you could take a potential client that wants to buy a home, walk through the home, but you're saying you just can't close the door.
Can close the door. They Matterport says you can't close the door, but I can make it where you can You can walk up to the door. It opens. You can walk through the door, and after you're in the room, it will close behind you.
Ah, everything but vocal, right?
Yeah, yeah. And they do have a program where you can add music to it. But I got the program, and they couldn't explain. I could never get out of them how to put music on it, so I dropped program.
I know what I was going to bring up before when I was rambling on, and then as I ramble, I forget my point. We're going to have a show about memory coming up here soon. But anyway, what it was is, you can't go off track. When you're filming something, and you know it goes off into what's it called, Doug? It comes to a certain point where how long is it? All right, sending it. How long? I think that's what I was getting to. When you do something like this, Aretha might know, you can only send so much. And is it a certain amount? You know, it can only be like your films with the 3D can be for a minute, and then you can send it. But if it's over a minute, then you have to send it in a different format. Is that how it works, Reese?
Send it where?
Well, say I want to send you a video. Say I went to I went to a couple of car shows, but it's not sending because it's a little too long. You familiar with that?
Yeah. Oh,
so,
it's got
so,
too many pixels or megabytes or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if I can jump in, Mr. Z, with the Matterport, the stuff I do is hosted on their site. So what I can do is I can share, you know, through link or embed code. If I'm shooting, I shot a house back in September, October, and it was an 8,000 square foot house with a pool house and 3 acres of land. And it was probably one of the biggest Matterports I've ever done. And they say that you shouldn't scan over 200 scans, but this was 325 scans. You were able to literally walk from the street all the way up the driveway, which is about half a mile long, and then throughout the house, and then all throughout the 3 acres of property. And
wow.
So that's such a huge file. So you have to send that by embed code or a link code, and Matterport hosts that on their site. And then as far as like the funniest hell demo that I have, it's a 4 minute presentation, and and what I did was I uploaded it on YouTube, and then and through the website that I have for the funniest hell show, whenever you click view the show, it pulls it from YouTube, because I know I can't send more than 4 or 5 photos unless I do it through the program called WeTransfer or Dropbox or something like that. So, you're right. It's a process to send large files.
Okay. All right.
You
well, anyway,
have to use the old-fashioned pan and solutions to develop pictures. Does anyone ever still do that?
I'm sorry. Say that again, Aretha.
Do you ever use the old pan and put the solutions in it and then put the paper in it and develop it?
Would
ever do that anymore?
You know what? I'm sure some people do, and I think there might still be courses at Orange Coast College that do that, but I really don't know anymore. But I really used to enjoy that. Whenever I worked for the TV studios, I would develop my own pictures because you had so much more control over it. And it was just, I just really enjoyed working in the dark room.
We've come a long way.
Yes, we really have.
There was a code in a book on deciphering codes, and that's what they did, Reese. They had covered the author, and because they kept soaking it in the solution. And I believe it was Yakovovich Astronovich or something. And nobody ever knew the author of the manuscripts for many, many years. And then they soaked it long enough, and it was hidden on the first page. Anyway, we got to move on with this. So, Doug, I want to thank you for coming on. And we have one coming up, right? August 19th. We'll be up the hills, yes. And we'll be seeing you there.
March 19th.
Yeah. What did I say? August? I don't know. I got to get on track.
I was going to say, that's awfully far off. Yeah.
Yeah. So I got to get Jim back on track here. So thanks for coming on, Doug, and looking forward to seeing you then on the 19th. And keep shooting and keep that 3D working. This is amazing stuff. And I want
to
really looking forward to this. So we're going to move along. Well,
you get
Carmelita's Corner coming up.
Oh, Carmelita.
Thank you,
Eric. Oh, my gosh. She's such a sweetheart.
Oh, yeah. And we want to thank her for popping on. He had
and
to pop
Mr.
off
Z,
real quick, too. Yeah.
It was so nice talking to y'all.
Oh, thank you.
It's always nice talking to you, Doug.
Okay. Y'all take care. And, have a wonderful day.
You too.
Thank you.
He's amazing.
Bye-bye.
Well, let's move on to a commercial and then see if Carmelita is ready. She's ready to go. She's probably steaming because we're all over time.
The professional speaking industry is a multi-billion dollar industry, and the religious speaking industry is even larger. Yet both of these industries miss out on billions of dollars of sales and donations every year. They are desperately seeking ways to increase their revenue during events, immediately after events, as well as weeks later. They need a way of directly communicating with their audience during and after their speeches or sermons in order to achieve more connection and engagement. TextMeLeads answers this need with their unique use of technology and service. TextMeLeads enables all types of speakers to communicate directly with their audience during and after events. This dramatically increases immediate and long-term engagement. TextMeLeads even allows sales and contributions to happen during an event, which is when audiences feel most connected, and that's when they're most likely to buy. TextMeLeads, the missing link between speakers and their buying audience.
Visit EasyWayText.com to get started today.
You are about to experience Carmelita's Corner. Carmelita's song, Rosebud, made it to the top 40s with the godfather of soul, James Brown. She's the founder of the Rose Breast Cancer Society. Now here's your host, Carmelita Pittman.
Well, here we are again. We woke up another day. How about that? Yeah, cause for applause. I'm telling you, with the times, it's really great to see the sun come up. And I have a very sunny person to present to you today. She's full of sunshine and beauty and talent, and she is amazing. I met her many years ago when she did me a favor, and we'll talk about that when we get into our conversation. But I just want to describe to you, she's beautiful, and I am just always in awe of her beautiful way of playing the classical piano. She has performed over 1,000 times in Europe, including Europe, America, and Canada. And she started out at the bright age of 14 at Carnegie Hall. How about that? And I want to talk to her about what's going on as well as her new venture. She has a new venture that she will talk to you about, too. It's called InGrow Universe. So let's bring her on now. Yana, are you there?
Hello.
Yes. Hello. Hi, Yana.
Hi, good morning.
Yes, you're talking to Yana Resnick.
Hello, everyone, and hello, Carmelita. Thanks for having me.
Yes, I am so glad to have you here today. And it seems that it's at a very timely time because you are of Russian descent from Moscow, Russia, and you also have ties to the Ukraine. And we had a wonderful conversation this morning. Can you talk about the situation in your view?
Absolutely. you know, it's very difficult really to even comprehend what's going on because, of course, I was born in Moscow, but we came to this country when I was 14 years old, and most of my friends and, you know, I'm actually quarter Ukrainian. We have families that are, you know, married Ukrainian to a Russian. Most of my friends are Ukrainian here in the U.S., and you know, we're seeing this all firsthand, and we're talking to them, and we're trying to support them. But I'm also talking to my Russian friends and have a lot of connections there and seeing what their sides are as well. It's just really complicated situation because, you know, this is brother going against brother and sister going against sister. We have, you know, we have spent our childhoods in Ukraine, and it's just so painful to witness, you know, the government taking these two countries against each other. It is just so painful. And it's impossible for us, for me personally, to take sides because I am both of those cultures. Like, how can you divide your own personality into two and choose which one you want? So it's been a really troubling couple of days. And I've been busy with trying to figure out, you know, how to help everyone. Well, we can't help everyone, but how to help with however what I can do on my end with my skills, with my connections or talent, you know, to relieve some of this anxiety and pain that people are going through and, you know, help in best ways that we can, whoever can do anything, you know. So that's where we are.
Yes, and you're very good at being helpful. And as I mentioned in my introduction of you, you did me a favor many years ago when I was the president of the Parish Pastoral Council to St. Paul's Catholic Church. I organized an intercultural concert, and I met you through Lynn Crandall, who I hope is listening. And, you know, she hooked us up, and you participated in one of the concerts. In fact, I think it was the first one that we did, and you were just simply spectacular. I wish everybody could hear the Rachmaninoff right now, because we were thinking about having that at the beginning of this show. And while I'm mentioning Rachmaninoff, can you tell us about his story and how it relates to what's happening right now?
Absolutely. Well, you know, Russia has been at war with the whole Tsarist movement and with Romanov family being taken over by the Bolsheviks. Rachmaninoff, he was in the situation of being a refugee of, you know, in the 1917 when the first revolution started taking place. And, you know, he was able to escape Russia, but his whole life he was suffering because here he was, like, you know, he couldn't come back to his homeland, and he ran away from what was going on in the government, you know. And it's just very much, I'm watching everything from a side right now from America, and find myself very, you know, privileged to be in this situation. But, you know, as people are there right now experiencing it, it's literally like replaying the historic times of, you know, so many refugees trying to escape their homes right now. It's just really painful to watch all of that. And it has effect on people for the rest of their lives. You know, it's not just something that comes and goes. This is going to be something that will remain in the world's hearts for many years to come. And the kind of effects that it will bring to individuals as well as countries in general is just really magnificent. Because I can already feel, you know, so many Russians will be under, you know, the world's hate because, you know, you can't blame people for taking sides. And I think this is so incredibly important just to understand that this is not a war of the country. This is not a war of the culture. It's, you know, it's very political. It's very government-oriented, unfortunately, because the majority of my friends do not support this war as Russians. I don't know one single person who does.
Well,
so
I've been
really
looking at
I've been looking at
the news, and it's just amazing how brave the Russian people are, that they're standing up to Putin and willing to take the risk of being arrested and tortured or worse, disappeared. And many people are not aware of this man, and I would say the comparison to Hitler, okay? A lot of people think here in this country that he's some kind of a hero because of his affiliation and friendship with the last leader of this country. But to the contrary, what he's doing is monstrous, and it's only to prop up himself and his wealthy counterparts. They're only going into the Ukraine to steal and rob. That's what they're there for. It has nothing to do with anything else.
Yeah, well, it's you know, we, again, like, I am not a politically proficient person to speak about it in those terms, because we don't know every single detail and secret of what their goals are. You know, it was even impossible for people to predict that he will actually attack, you know. So I'm not proficient to speak on those terms, but what I do know is that it is not being supported by majority of Russians. And
they're,
you know,
in the streets by the droves. It's amazing. I mean, if you look at the television,
and
you can see
violent.
How many people are out there protesting what he's doing.
Yeah, but they're being silenced. You know, people are also afraid because, you know, in Russia, it's that country is famous for their own leaders destroying masses, millions. You know, with Stalin, he destroyed millions of lives of Russians, their own people. Right? It's done by the government.
Oh, yes.
So people still
mm-hmm.
live in that fear. You know,
mm-hmm.
it hasn't gone away. So when people do speak up, it's, you know, and a lot of the times they're manipulated into, you know, they're threatened into, you know, publicly supporting because they're just afraid for their own families and their own lives.
Well, see, the thing is, it's very easy for the people in this country to think that he's some kind of a hero, the ones who are supporting him, you know, that think that, you know that he's part of their family or something. But the thing is that they're not realizing in our country we do have the freedom to speak because of the First Amendment. Over there,
mm-hmm.
you do not have that freedom. If they speak up right now, people are being arrested just for expressing their opinions on the internet. They're being arrested.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean,
exactly.
This is a very small thing. But this man, he is a dictator. I hope people understand he is a dictator. He will be there until 2036. And Lukashenko, his friend, has already been a dictator for 26 years. And they've had the elections rigged in such a way that it makes it look like that it's a democracy, but it's not. It's all rigged. So anyway, I'm a political junkie, and I get very passionate. And I'm sorry, but I can't help but express my feelings right now because I'm very concerned for the Ukrainian people. I have many Ukrainian friends, and I love them, and I support them. And I understand your position must be very difficult, being both Russian and part Ukrainian.
You know, I mean, just seeing these Russian soldiers and being interviewed, you know, some of them ended up in captivity, and they're speaking up, and they're saying, look, we had no idea what we were going in for. We were told they were hired as contractors, and they were being told, you know, again, you cannot believe everything that you see on the media. So it's, you know, it's very tricky to even say this, but like when you do see videos like this, you always have to wonder, like, are they real? Are they fake? Like, are you being, you know, made to think a certain way? Like, are you, you know, is it part of propaganda? Like, you have to question every single thing. But, you know, I know for a fact that a lot of these people who was sent to fight right now, they had no idea what they were going in for. They thought it was a military operation. They were contracted.
Yes.
And, you know, these boys, when they got there, I mean, some of their grandmothers, their sisters live on that area. Like, how do you expect them to fight against them?
Yes, I can understand that because, unfortunately, they've been lied to. This is a part of the game plan that Putin uses. He and his counterpart use Hitler's game plan. You just lie until the people believe it. And he's already
mm-hmm.
put up false flag operations. He said that they're there to protect the people from the Nazis. Can you believe that? And
right.
Zelensky is Jewish. So, I mean, can you equate the two? But so, in other words, this is all based on lies and an excuse for them to go in and invade an innocent country because they want to express democracy, which he does not have in Russia. He makes it look or pretend to make it look like he has democracy, but they do not. Putin is a dictator. People need to understand what he is. And what he's doing now is based on lies, and all those of us who believe in God can do is pray and lift up those people in prayer, because I do believe in spiritual warfare.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think what that's, you know, you're kind of going towards the direction which, you know, where, you know, I think every single one of us has to decide how can we help the situation and how can we help each other. Because, you know, praying is wonderful, you know, donating is wonderful. You have to decide which, you know, places you donate to. But we all have to remember that, you know, people, when they need to be in the winning mood, you know, the morale is extremely important. And I think what I'm seeing is, you know, these kind of events make people angry. They make them frustrated. They make them go against each other, even here locally. And I think it's extremely important to just remember that the peace comes from each one of us and towards each other here locally and globally. And we have to keep that in our minds right now. Instead of fighting and getting into, you know, local fights against the other person's opinion, we have to take care of each other. We have to understand all sides. We have to understand and respect each other and, you know, try to basically stay also very kind and healed and not angry and not allow that. And this is where, you know, you have to decide what is your kind of, what each of our individual's gifts are and what can we give in this particular situation, you know. And also, there's a lot of conversation like, well, why are you guys so concerned about, you know, these refugees when, you know, there are so many wars in the world? I mean, that is also a big question, right? It's like,
yeah,
you know,
well,
we
Yana,
have to not
Yana,
just look
I
at
just,
this crisis. Yeah.
I just want to thank you for coming on. I do want our listeners to hear at least a little bit of some of your beautiful piano playing.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say goodbye to everybody, and we will play off our conversation with your cheerful, wonderful music, because we need something to cheer us up. Thank you so much for being a wonderful guest.
Smartphone, cell phone, PC, Mac, tablet, iPad. That's right. It's tech time.
Yes, it is tech time. And they were talking about what's going on overseas. And we don't think about it, but it can affect us at home. So we need to be doing certain things just in case we manage to find ourselves in the middle of a war. So you say, what can they do to me? Well, the banking system is going to go a little kablooey over all the haggling and things that the billionaires are doing. So what do we need to do? At least keep some money in your house. people are going to the bank overseas and the banks are not having the money to give them. So you should take some money out of the bank, keep it at home just in case. Now, what else should you do? You might want to think about backing up everything you have. They're talking about a cyber war. If our cell phones go down, if the bank's cell phones go down. I was at Starbucks yesterday. They had a power outage of some sort. They could no longer sell anything. Matter of fact, they gave me my chocolate croissant because it was already warmed up, but they couldn't open the cash register to put the money in it. So you should back up everything that's on your computer, everything that's on your phone, and back it up regularly. If you do something important between now and the weekend, then make sure you back up your equipment so that that is noted on there. The other thing that you can do is, I'm not saying go hoard anything, but make sure you have a supply of groceries in case there is a disruption in the food chain. Make sure that you have food, they say, for at least 2 weeks, possibly a month. And I'm not saying buy all the toilet paper. You don't need a bunch of toilet paper for a month or two, but you should have a month's supply of toilet paper, maybe a month's supply of canned goods that are easily cooked. If they do something cyber, our water supply is it's exposed. I'll just tell it like it is. I took a tour of the aqueduct in California, and our water supply is just exposed, and we've been in the middle of a drought. So you might want to have some water stored up at your house. And one of the things that Carmelita said that's most important, pray. Those of us that are praying people, pray for the people that are over in both of those countries, because there are people that are dying literally for freedom. Definitely keep them in prayer. And again, it's not a matter of just hoarding things for yourself. Your neighbor might not be as fortunate as you and might not have enough food to last them for a month. So maybe get a little bit extra for your neighbors. Maybe, get an extra blanket or two when you're at the store getting that one box of toilet paper. Get an extra blanket. You never know who might need an extra blanket during these times. So I'm just giving you a few tips of what you might want to do, because this has been going on for a few days, but we don't know how long it's going to last and who all is going to be affected. So that is my tech time for today. Jim, what is your gem for today?
Okay, baby boomers, it's time for gems from Jim.
Unless you're on track with the three far away, can affect us because, you know, what they shared in the hot topic, the...
Can't hear you, Jim. Jim.
Oh, okay. Is that a little better?
Yes, talk into the phone. Yeah,
talk into the phone. I'm holding the phone away, Reese, because I don't want radiation. And then on the other, I got to get one of those headphone things. That's what I got to do. But, you know, Reese, you hit a lot of good points there, because you need food, right? But then again, do you remember we talked about this a while back when this stuff started? Reese, what I did was I went out and bought all this stuff. And it expired. I had all kinds of chicken, and I had this big giant freezer, and I wound up throwing most of it out because even the canned goods only last so long. So you want
to
have stuff.
You
have
to rotate them.
You
have
to rotate them, yeah.
Jim. I'm running out of my, I forgot what the last emergency was. But whatever it was, I started eating that food once the emergency was. So now I don't have maybe a full month's supply of food. But you have to rotate it out, Jim.
Well, I do a little bit of that, but when you buy 50 cans of spaghetti, I think that's maybe too much. But, you know, some of the dates. And okay, here's the question, Reef. All right. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I bought these ribs, right? $17. They're sealed. They're cooked. They're in the cooler over at one of the food stores there. I brought them home, and I put them in the refrigerator for a couple of days. And then I thought, geez, I'm not getting to these. I better put them in the freezer. So then I put them in the freezer, and that was about 5 or 6 days. And I thought, geez, I got to eat these ribs. So I put them out, and so they get thawed out. But I left them overnight. And I thought, well, it'll probably take overnight to thaw. So now it's been overnight, and they were thawed, but it could have been thawed for 6 or 7 hours. When is the point where you go, you know what, it's been too much freezer, refrigerator, leaving out, thawing, not thawing? When do you say, you know, this is either bring them home and eat them or forget it? I mean, as far as the ribs, do you think you should throw them out after going through all that? They sat out. On, you know, thawed out for 6 or 7 hours, because they say bacteria does start after a while. What would you say?
It depends on what food it is, because some foods are more prone to collecting bacteria. And
like ground meat or something?
And it depends on your actual body. I literally believe I have a cast iron. I think I have had food poisoning one time in my life. I'm not even sure that I had it then. I brought home tacos the other day and fell asleep. Sat them on the stove, fell asleep. Guess what I had for breakfast? And these were not frozen tacos. I had tacos for breakfast that had been sitting on the stove overnight.
That's not recommended. Reese, my head is spinning with this, you know, like, I like pizza. You like pizza, Reese?
I'm okay with
medium.
Pizza.
Okay. So I like pizza and, you know, cheeseburger, whatever. And then I read this article and I'm getting hit right and left here. Cheese is bad for the brain. It's bad for your memory. I'm thinking, good Lord, that's all I need is something to affect my memory. I'm already in a spot, you know. So there's the cheese. And then you have, oh, forget the sugar. You know, we really got to watch this stuff. I'm going to have a show on some of these things. And eggs, and, you know, you say throw out the hot dogs. And that article, you know, if you change your diet, you can live 13 years longer. And there's a variety of things in there that you got to be careful of. But going back to what you're talking about, yeah. So I've got a book, and it's on an expert. And remember, if you run out of water, you have if you have the hot water tank. Some people have the smaller unit, but you have here. You got 40 gallons of water in there. No, if things go really bad. And then, what kind of light should you have? Well, you got candles, but then people worry about the candles. So then you, what I found are these light bulbs, and you could put them in your lamp, and you could put them in your backyard. And then they got solar panels on them, and they last for a long time. Anyway, we can go on and on with this. We're going to have a show on this, what to have, what to store up with. But Reese was on point, guys, because if something does happen, you want to have some food in the house. Maybe those packages that you buy that are good for 5 years, have a couple boxes of those so you don't have to worry about them, you know, going bad. Water, that's a good one, and so on and so forth. Yeah, and Reese, we got to talk about the money thing, because I have a book, When the ATMs Go Dark. What do we do about that? But anyway, we got to get rolling. There's so much stuff we want to share with you guys. We got the archive shows, but we're going to get you on track with this. We're going to really cover the basis here on what to have in your house, how to stay up, keep it lit up at night, keep the refrigerator going, and watch TV. And I'm going to give you a little tip on that. So when the lights go out, you can still watch TV. And we'll talk about that. So anyway, Reese, and everybody, remember the Easy Way magazine is on its way, and text Easy Way to 55678. And the Wall of Fame is rocking and rolling. We're talking, we hit the 300,000 per month mark. People come in and check that out. Oh, I'm out of breath. So we got to get moving, guys. So we want to thank Doug Ferguson and Carmelita's Corner, Carmelita's guest, and any closing parting words of wisdom, Reese? I know I put you on the spot when I say that, but what do you got?
Well, just be
I won't
vigilant
do. This will be the
and
last.
Be safe. Be vigilant and be safe.
See, that's why I always ask for it, so you know what to do. So, guys, keep moving. Keep the faith till next Monday morning. Reese and I will be back with Radio Boomers Live. So, for now, we're signing out.
See you next Monday.
Thank you for listening to Radio Boomers Live with your hosts, Aretha Gray, star Betty White's Off Their Rockers, and EZ's dad, Jim Zulli. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Radio Boomers Live. Radio Boomers Live is brought to you by the Easy Way Broadcasting Network. That's the letter E, the letter Z, Broadcasting Network.